Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Involved.
With Matt Harmon.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
Looking forward to facing your mom at some point.
Last night at the bar we were at, I had some really bad queso.
I've never had no bad queso, really.
It's Thursday, December 8th, and we've reached the most important part of the NFL season. This outrageous Week 14 bye week apocalypse. No, that's not what the most important thing is. Fantasy playoffs are here. Things are happening. They're on the line. It's a great time to be following the NFL. It's a great time to be playing fantasy football. And it's a great time here on Thursday to be joined by my favorite stat nerd for Stat Nerd Thursday. It's Dalton Del Don. Dalton, what's going on, buddy?
It's a couple blows to the Bay Area, man. We lost Jimmy Garoppolo to another injury. Our guy Tom Brady, the hits just keep coming for his. Another failure for him recruiting Aaron Judge to the Giants. You know, I went to sleep thinking he was going to be a Giant. Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about here, but suddenly he re-signed with the Yankees, and Brady was, you know, pitching him during the Monday night game. So a failure there. So a couple of hits for my Bay Area teams.
I do actually know what you're talking about. I guess I can talk about this now, but my wife works for an agency, and she knew a full like 24, 48 hours in advance that Judge was going back to the Yankees because one of their clients. You could have asked me, bro. I absolutely could have.
John Heyman made a tweet saying it was a done deal to the Giants, and everyone ran with it. So I absolutely didn't realize that I had inside information.
I know. Yeah. I kept telling her because she told me about it, and I was like, you know, this could be my big break. Like, I could break this news completely.
Oh, you would have.
That would have been my big break. But you know what? Big wife guy, more than a career guy. So I kept my mouth shut all yesterday about it. I didn't tell anybody. I mean,
you could have at least shot your buddy, you know, a text, though. You could have done that, but it's all right. But that's
never.
That's
never. No. I will lie to you right through my teeth, Dalton, every single day to protect.
You're
protect
saving
my wife's
the text
integrity.
For the Liver King apology. That's fine. Those are the important texts to me anyway. So you got the real one. So anyway, Garoppolo went down for the season too. So that sucked as well.
Well, maybe for the season, but we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. You know what we do here on Stat Nerd Thursday. We don't just talk about Aaron Judge or the Liver King, although we hit on all things as well. We give you one stat that you need to know for all 32 teams before we wade into the waters of Thursday Night Football. And my God, the waters are disgusting this week, so we will try to push that off as long as possible. We start with the Philadelphia Eagles because we start with the best team. We go first to worst in terms of record. The Eagles have been in the top spot for quite some time now. Jalen Hurts has the third best passer rating when throwing go routes this year, Dalton. Couple of reasons I want to highlight this. First, to talk about Jalen Hurts. We'll do that in a second here. But I want you to try to guess who the number one passer rating quarterback is when throwing go routes this year. I don't think you will guess it. I think there's no shot.
Yeah, so Burrow's too obvious. I don't know. My guy, Goff. I mean, it's obviously someone that would surprise me the way you're framing this. So who is it?
Tua is number two. So it's not Tua. It's Matt Ryan.
Right. Yeah, that's bizarre. Yeah, would not have. Yes, wouldn't have guessed that one. It must be always when kept clean, no doubt. But interesting.
Yeah, it's got to be. But a lot of it, I think, is because Alec Pierce has like been a big contested go route guy this year. And this, by the way, the attempt, like in terms of the attempts, it's outrageously, big difference there. So just thought that was interesting that Matt Ryan has the highest passer rating when throwing go routes this year. But I wanted to just talk about Jalen Hurts because I think Hurts has been great in fantasy, obviously, since the Eagles bye week. And I think what's been so interesting, you know, the damn Titans fire their general manager the day after they a couple days after they lose to AJ Brown and the Eagles and stuff like that. I think what's been crazy about Eagle, like AJ Brown with the Eagles this year, you know, I always think he's been a full field player, like a guy that can separate at all levels, a guy that can win on go routes, but like he was always used as an over the middle in breaking bully wide receiver. And it's crazy that Jalen Hurts' biggest strengths have always been throwing outside the numbers, like throwing deeper passes, you know, along the sideline, stuff like that. And it's just one of those situations where these two guys have brought out the best in each other. And we know that obviously from the raw stats perspective. But the fact that like Hurts is bringing out qualities that were there to be unlocked with AJ Brown in Tennessee, but have now been unlocked here in the Eagles offense, I think it's just a really big testament to Hurts' growth and development as a player.
And last week, in hindsight, was just such an obvious DFS stack facing a pass funnel Tennessee Titans defense without Goddard. It's you got Devonta Smith and AJ Brown into concentrated targets, and Brown's a revenge game. Oh, man, it paid off big time. AJ Brown, not only did he have that 41 yard, I don't know if it was moved to a 40 yard catch, but in back to back plays, I don't know if you saw that, but he penalty nullified the first one. And then on the next play, it was like the most separation on a 25 yard TD pass in the last 5 years. He's just a beast. Obviously, we can look back at his overall numbers and remember one of those games, like Devontae Adams, it was basically like a did not play while dealing with an illness when we look back at the box score. But yeah, Jalen Hurts has been awesome, an MVP candidate. This team is the real deal, obviously, with Jimmy Garoppolo going down and the way the Eagles look now. I mean, they look pretty well set to be the favorite to come out of that conference.
I don't normally do stuff like this, but somebody else brought an old tweet of mine back into my mentions. So then I went to look at the replies I tweeted on draft night when right after the AJ Brown trade, that Brown has all the ability to be a legit top five NFL wide receiver, 100% worth the trade, the contract, all of it, him and Devontae Smith, awesome tandem for the Eagles going forward. Like, and I felt strongly about Brown as a player before coming to Philadelphia, felt strongly, but like the replies to that, tough scene in terms of the doubters for Jalen Hurts. And I think it's just the lesson that I take away from a guy like Hurts. You know, number one, you get a transformative talent at wide receiver and put him in the offense, you can take a step, obviously. But Hurts had shown signs of incremental growth over the last 4 years of playing football. And like, sometimes it really pays off to use your imagination that a guy who has shown positive signs can take another step. And I think we've seen that, obviously, with Hurts this year. It's just a good lesson to remember.
And you give him the best offensive line and you add a borderline top five wide receiver. They didn't just add a good wide receiver in free agency. They added a borderline top five one. So that's a mess now why he's just, you know, erupting in fantasy. I mean, it's a big deal. And then just real quickly, Vrabel, I believe, like promised AJ Brown he was returning. So I get the feeling that was ownership issue, some sort of payment there. So I don't know, the GM, obviously the scapegoat here, but I don't know. It feels like that was an ownership issue there, letting Brown go.
Yeah, well, and now I think they're clearly pissed about it because they fired John Robinson. Yeah, you know, Will Brinson brought back a clip of Mike Vrabel clearly pissed, like in the draft room right after the AJ Brown trade was announced. You know, it broke. Obviously, it had just gone down because Vrabel, was the one who said like, no way, we're not trading AJ Brown. So that's a pro move, by the way. When the camera's on you, make sure you let everybody know, like, no, I'm against this. I am like, this is not my idea. That's a pro move by Mike Vrabel right there to then just shave off all accountability there. So yeah, clearly a lot of regrets there.
You know what else has aged well is, didn't the Vikings laugh when Jefferson was not picked right in front of them? I mean, what a
took Jalen Reagor, who ironically is on the Minnesota Vikings right now. But although
Zimmer's laughing from home, but still, it's still right.
Yeah. Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer both were laughing in that video, both no longer with the team. but yeah, regardless. And that one, I mean, I could talk about these trades all day long, but we got to move on here. We are moving on to the Minnesota Vikings. Ironically, just right away, look, seamless transition there by
look
you,
that,
Dalton.
Yeah.
You sent this one in from Kelly Ford Ratings. This is an interesting tweet. I can't read off the entire thing here, but basically the premise is, what if every one possession NFL game had the opposite results? The top six seeds in the AFC would all be 8-4, and the Vikings would be 1-11 and eliminated from playoff contention. It is pretty crazy, and I know Vikings fans will probably come back, although there's a lot of like self-deprecating kind of living in the misery, aware of what they are, Vikings fans out there, but I'm sure some of them will be like, shut the hell up, like what matters is what we our record actually is. But it is crazy that if every one score game was the other way around for the Vikings, they'd be 1-11 this year.
Yeah, the worst team in football. It is crazy, only forcing two punts against the Jets last week, but they deserve some credit for winning these football games. And on a positive note, I would like to bitch and complain a little about myself. When I went to Vegas over the summer, I wanted to bet on Justin Jefferson to win Offensive Player of the Year. I could not find it in any book, and I guarantee he is a shoe-in to win that with their record and him being non-quarterback, putting the number he's definitely going to win the Offensive Player of the Year, man. Who is going to beat him on that? I think he's a sure in for that one. But the Vikings deserve, I guess, coaching. I don't know, but Kirk Cousins is literally having the worst season of his career statistically, and here they are at 10-2. I mean, just wild stuff. Last year too, they led every game but one by at least 6 points, and finished with a bad record. So what is this? Just the most obscene regression of all time? I mean, it's obviously the truth lies somewhere in the middle, but it's pretty wild to see this crazy that it'd be 1-11 if you flip the one score games.
Yeah, it is wild. On the note about like Offensive Player of the Year, I think Tyreek Hill can win it. I think like I don't like when they do a quarterback as Offensive Player of the Year, because it's basically like a consolation for the fact that
Mahomes and Hurts.
Yeah, Mahomes like and Hurts. I could see Hurts being Offensive Player of the Year. Mahomes is MVP.
So
there's some way, and I think the Tyreek Hill one is like a big narrative based award, right? Because he goes to a new team and all that type of stuff. So there's plenty of chances. What's going to be interesting, Dalton, is like the All Pro votes at wide receiver, because I think Justin Jefferson, the fact that the Vikings are that their record is as good as they is, that's going to get Justin Jefferson an All-Pro vote. But like, you just look at the top four receivers right now, top four receivers in fantasy, ironically enough, Davante Adams, Steph Diggs, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill. Like, it's crazy that one of those guys is not going to be an All-Pro this year. And obviously, we didn't even mention AJ Brown, who we just talked about.
Great point about Hill. If he's the first receiver to break 2,000 yards, he may take home the award. Crazy tweet I saw. Do you know that the one snap all last game that Sauce Gardner lined up on the left or the right side of the field was the touchdown catch by Justin Jefferson? The one snap he lined up on that side. That's pretty wild. Obviously, the rookie's been dominant, but that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, because that's a defense that doesn't have, like a shadow. They don't shadow Sauce Gardner like that, but they move him that one time. But that's what's so crazy about these guys like Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb, who we just had on the show, is like a great example of this. What we talked about yesterday, like him playing as a slot receiver. He plays in the slot a lot more than Justin Jefferson, but they don't use Justin Jefferson as that like X receiver that's tethered to one spot. The fact that they can move these guys around pre-snap, it really screws with the defenses, like matchup assignments there, especially when you don't have like a shadow corner that tracks around. And because most teams don't play a lot of man coverage, you don't have a lot of shadow corners. So I don't know. I think, man, it's crazy the way we talked about like wide receiver cornerback matchups like 5 years ago is so different than hopefully everybody is talking about it now.
Totally. Yeah. Way different. You would know better than anyone, but it's really tough to, I really like to, I did my bus column this week. I did zero receivers in, I had a couple hits last week, but Metcalf did not make me look smart. And it's just so tough to, I try to face more on game flow when I'm projecting receivers than I am matchups, because there's so few just shut down corners these days. And there's a really long article written like a year and a half ago, basically just pointing out that it's just impossible, because even a few plays here and there, could your receiver could put up a good fantasy game. So yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, the Gabe Davis principle. Like, you can stink it up all game, but then one play, you can make your whole fantasy day. By the way, our Mike Evans, Gabe Davis bet, I don't even know who's ahead at this point. And it's like, there are no winners in that one.
I don't think they tagged you, but someone gave me props for that just a couple days ago. And I'm like, hey, I'm not doing any victory laps for Gabe Davis here. And he said, he just pointed out that he avoided Mike Evans because of me. So I'll take that. But yeah, it sucks.
Mike Evans, wide receiver 27, Gabe Davis, wide receiver 24.
Ugly stuff. Yeah, that's not what we were hoping for. Yeah.
I think that's definitely one where it's like, there's no winners. I mean, you're right. You will win the bet. I think,
no, that's up in the air for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely up in the air. But either way, like, even if I win the bet, let me tell you what, my teams, well, I don't know, my teams with Mike Evans are okay, but not because of Mike Evans. That's a whole other discussion there.
As long as this results in me trying Father's Office Burger, I'll be happy.
There we go. All right, Buffalo Bills, next team up here. We got to have a conversation about James Cook, who we talked about a little bit earlier for a video. I've mentioned this a couple times that James Cook obviously surpassed Devin Singletary in terms of percentage of team rushes for the Buffalo Bills last week. But you brought a good stat from our guy, Jacob Gibbs. Explosive run rate, 15 plus yards. James Cook, 11.7% this year. Devin Singletary, 5.8%. Targets per route run, 34% for James Cook, 14% for Devin Singletary. Are we seeing a little bit of a flip here in the Buffalo Bills backfield?
It appears so, and just $14 in Yahoo DFS this week. I do think it'll be, you know, split with the carries, but man, if Cook gets those receptions, and Singletary, they've been trying to replace as the receiving back for a while now, and he's just historically been bad in yards per route run. So Cook kind of popped watching him last time too. He looked good. So yeah, I'm really interested in him as a cheap DFS option, and I ranked him as a top 25 back ahead of Singletary this week too. So yeah, not a great matchup against the Jets, but this is was an eye-opening difference there in usage.
100%. And like, that's the reason they drafted James Cook, was to replace Devin Singletary as a receiving back. You know, it's, even though Cook hasn't been a day one contributor, which I don't think is the most surprising thing in the world, they have really tried to hammer this home into Josh Allen's head, like, take the check down, because when you take it, we've got guys like James Cook or Isaiah McKenzie or these guys that make plays in the open field. Like, they'll take that check down a few more yards and you'll build up that way. It's worked. He's thrown to running backs at a higher rate this year than ever before. But like, yeah, now if they get what they thought out of James Cook, that juice in the backfield there, I don't see why he couldn't be like an every week flex option, as long as this usage that we saw last week holds rest of season.
Yep, agreed. Like I said, I'm ranked as my 24th back, but safe as a flex play. Running backs was ugly. If you look at the leaderboard, transitioning to the Cowboys next, do you realize that Tony Pollard was the number two fantasy back last week? He saw fewer than 15 touches. I mean, it's a wild RB landscape out there right now. So yes, James Cook is absolutely startable.
Tony Pollard single-handedly won me a matchup last week. So shout out to Tony Pollard. Shout out to the Dallas Cowboys, who have, this is our stat for them, one of the highest implied team totals of the season, while the Texans have one of the lowest. This looks like a potential bloodbath here, this upcoming matchup.
Yeah, Kyle Allen was so bad, they're turning back to the detective Davis Mills. And like I said, Pollard last week, he actually saw his lowest snap share since week 6, and Ezekiel Elliott saw his highest snap share since then, despite not starting for disciplinary reasons. I have Zeke as a top 12 back as well in this matchup. I mean, you know, biggest favorites of the season, Pollard a top 10 back, and right behind him Zeke actually with the touches and the touchdowns. I mean, I would not be surprised at all if he produced more fantasy points this week. So I could see starting both even in a DFS lineup. I mean, this just Malik Davis was the top 30 fantasy back last week, and he had 2 or 3 touches. I mean, it's pretty wild. I could see another thing with a very favorable game script leading to a ton of rushing attempts from Dallas.
Shout out to us. We talked about Michael Gallup last week and how some of the signals were there, and he got 2 touchdowns last week. I feel like he's kind of in that potential every week wide receiver 3 discussion now that he is looking healthy. Just on the Odell Beckham thing, I know we talked about it with CeeDee Lamb yesterday, and now, you know, we've gotten a lot of reports since then that the team seems pretty concerned about Beckham's potential availability prior. Like, they think he might not be ready until mid-January, which, like, no kidding. He tore his ACL in mid-February in the Super Bowl. Like, of course he might not be 100% ready. It's the second time he's torn that knee. Like, it's not surprising at all. I can't believe people were, like, holding Odell Beckham as, like, a stash in fantasy. It was clear if he was ever going to be involved for any team, it wouldn't be until the actual NFL playoffs. Like, I don't think he was ever going to help a team. That was obvious. Like, typically it's funny when we see these guys coming back from these injuries, they're, you know, posting route running videos, stuff like that. Beckham, it's nothing like that has come out, you know? So I don't know. Although if I'm Beckham, I would be pretty pissed that like I go visit the Bills and I go visit the Giants. Nothing comes out about my medicals. As soon as I go to Dallas, then it's like, oh, now it's leaking.
Yeah. He wants to sign without even getting a physical. Yeah. And the way Jerry Jones acted, it sounded like, yeah, it's a multi-year deal. So I would not. Yeah. Definitely don't count on him in fantasy terms. And it may be a long shot in real terms as well. But yes, Jared Smola tweeted this. Malik Davis played 3 snaps last week and was the RB27 in half point PPR. I mean, that's how wild running back is right now. It's ugly.
Kansas City Chiefs here. Juju Smith-Schuster has gotten a first down on 49% of his targets this year. That's the fourth best among guys with 50-plus targets. Just wanted to check in on, like, the usage for these Chiefs players because I'm still, like, Juju's been a weird player this year that, like, in the first part of the year, you know, the usage was there, or like the playing time was there, but it wasn't really happening. Then there was a good chunk of the year where it was happening. He gets his concussion, and then ever since then, and he got a little banged up in the game last week too. I don't know. I mean, he's been a pretty good player for the Chiefs this year, but from a fantasy standpoint, it's been so hard to pinpoint where he is since that big concussion, and he missed a game. And they used him sparingly, and then he got back last game. I think he got hit up again. Like, I don't know what's going on with Juju at this point.
Yeah, I still ranked him as a top 30 wideout. It's weird over there in KC. MVS is dropping multiple passes. Sky Moore looked like a real sleeper trajectory for more playing time and was just a ghost last week. Kadarius Toney is now back practicing. So, yeah, it's a messed up situation there for the receivers. But Juju is the most reliable of them, so I'm still ranking him as such. But, yeah, it hasn't been great.
No, definitely not. Pacheco, though, I think has given them a lot in the run game. So it's been nice to see the Chiefs. It's just always been very obvious that the Chiefs have missed a power run game in the last few years of the Mahomes era. And I love what Pacheco's brought to them there as opposed to CEH. All right. Next one here. Baltimore Ravens. You brought this to the table. Tyler Huntley in games where he led the team in pass attempts. Mark Andrews had a 28.4% target share, 91.8 yards per game. 20 fantasy points per game. In all other games, obviously 22 games last 2 years, 19% target share, 66.5 yards per game. I know these stats are popular right now in the fantasy streets because obviously we're getting Tyler Huntley back in the mix here.
Yeah, I mean, Andrews has been a disappointment, hasn't scored since week 6. But Huntley just targets him like crazy. There's no receivers there. This week, Pittsburgh ranks top 5 in yards per carry, but bottom 5 in yards per pass attempt allowed. So, it's weird losing Lamar Jackson and considering it an upgrade. But looking at those target rates, Andrews becomes a viable DFS option this week.
Yeah, and I mean, who the hell else is Tyler Huntley going to throw to, right? Like, they're running out goofball wide receivers. Now, I'm a little bit more cautious on Tyler Huntley than I think others are just because this offense is so poorly constructed right now. The talent's bad. You know, last year they have Rashad Bateman and Marquise Brown playing during this stretch, although that obviously makes the argument for Mark Andrews a little bit better there. But I'm just pretty cautious that, like, the Ravens can score more than 14 points in any given matchup.
No, I hear you. Huntley, in his defense last year, you look at his numbers, realize that I think he dealt with like this COVID situation. He played sick and he didn't practice 1 week. But on the flip side, now this year, he's with a roster that Lamar Jackson was struggling through too. So yes, absolutely. He could still play well and still not, you know, quite look as great in the box score based on his teammates. But he rushes, so he's interesting in fantasy. And he was definitely popular in super flex leagues in the waiver wire this week for sure.
Cincinnati Bengals right behind the Baltimore Ravens. It's going to be a fun battle for the AFC North there the rest of the way. Joe Burrow has a 2.5 second time to throw since week 10. That ranks 36th among quarterbacks. He's been getting the ball out so fast, which that's notable because Burrow typically has been a higher time to throw guy. He'll sit there in the pocket. But like the fact that these running backs are involved, Samaje Perine especially, dude, I'm very impressed with how Samaje Perine has looked in this offense, man. Like the numbers have been good, but he just has brought like a different powerful dimension to the point where I'm like, might they split things up a little bit more between Mixon and Perine whenever Mixon gets back out there? But you know, Perine as a passing asset has contributed to Joe Burrow's lower time to throw. But overall, I think Burrow deserves a lot of credit right now as a guy who has changed up his playing style and the offense has been better for it.
Absolutely. I think that stat has something to do with Chase missing some of those games. They forced him to get the ball out quicker, but Chase is a beast.
Still got the ball out pretty fast against the Chiefs, though. It was like 2.4 seconds.
No, that's why I was hoping they could marry the two, you know, learn to play that way with Chase returning. We talked about it last week when I think you laughed when I suggested their offense was more efficient without him, but I was just trying to bring up a greater point. And obviously Chase is a beast. And if Tyler Boyd, man, that was the worst drop, one of the worst drops of the season last year. And now he's going to be more involved with Hayden Hurst going down too. But I agree with you. P. Ryan's looked great. Maybe more of a even split there with the carry. Certainly he's going to remain the passing down back there. And Burrow's awesome. And like I said last week too, he's admitted that a lot of his sack issues, they come on third down and downs that he doesn't carry or punting anyway. So he looks great. They're obviously a real threat. It's wild that they beat the Chiefs three straight games by the exact score, 27-24, I believe. That's crazy. I thought Mahomes, I actually had only one bet this week, a long parlay, and the only loss was Chiefs money line. So that was a frustrating one, but that's what I get for playing the narrative that he's going to be fired up, you know, trying to get revenge from last year's AFC Championship game. That was a total coin flip game. So I deserve to lose that. Stupid.
It is pretty funny that the Chiefs have lost five games since week eight last year, and three of them have been to the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, I just think the Bengals look like a really good team right now. And Burrow, again, it's hard for quarterbacks to sort of change up the way they play in the middle of a season like this. And I think Zach Taylor, who, like, some people give Zach Taylor a bunch of crap, but, like, I think he really deserves a lot of credit as well for this offensive change. And all of these guys, I think, are better in fantasy because of it. And the backfield stuff is, you know, I know that's not, like, it's not a specific backfield stat, but there's no doubt, like, throwing to P. Ryan and even a little bit to Mixon as well this year has contributed to Joe Burrow getting the ball out faster. Again, P. Ryan has looked so good the last few weeks. I do wonder if he remains involved when Mixon comes back.
Yep. I believe he will be more involved than he was before. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's funny that, like, less than a calendar year ago, people are laughing at the Bengals for giving Samaje Perine the ball in the Super Bowl. And then now it's like, oh, maybe he's going to be more involved. Like, this is funny.
I forgot about that. It's a good call.
It's funny how football is. Miami Dolphins, next team here. Jeff Wilson's snap rate since he got to Miami, 49%, 61%, 61%, and then 37% last week. Dalton, what a crash and burn moment for Jeff Wilson in his quote revenge game against the San Francisco 49ers. It's tough, right? Because I think we can feel pretty good that Tua and the boys bounce back against the Chargers' pitiful defense. You know, Davante Adams absolutely took him to the woodshed last week. We talked about that with Austin Ekeler yesterday. But man, these running backs, we obviously want to start them against the Chargers' defense, but I don't know how you can really feel great about Jeff Wilson after what we saw last week.
Yeah, missed on DK Metcalf in my bust column, but hit on Jeff Wilson. Didn't expect just one touch, though. That was certainly weird. But you hit the main point here. They go from having an extremely tough matchup against the Niners to one of the best against the Chargers. So what is the carry is going to be divvied up here with Mostert and Wilson? We may not get, and that's a Sunday night game, too. It's unclear if Wilson's lack of involvement was due to an injury. But, that's a not exactly an ideal situation for fantasy managers because of the divvied up carries. But Tua could be limited in that ankle injury, and they could be really focused on the ground there too without the missing both tackles. You know, it was his most inaccurate game of his career last week, arguably, against the Niners. So this should be a real fun one in prime time. And the backfield is one to really pay attention to, the Davies there. And again, Mostert's, you know, another injury around the corner, and Wilson could be a real big contributor in the fantasy playoffs. But right now, it's not ideal.
Hopefully, I think Khalil Mack's been pretty good for the Chargers this year. He's been like one of their lone kind of bright spots on defense. They don't have a lot of other defensive line talent. Obviously, Joey Bosa still missing games because, man, when you can hit Tua, that was a reminder against 49ers. When you can get the guy rattled, it could throw the entire thing off script. But I do think overall Tua probably bounces back in this spot. It's obviously going to be a super big talked about game there, that matchup between those two quarterbacks. But yeah, I feel pretty good about Raheem Mostert, but I'd like to feel better about Jeff Wilson than I do coming off that workload last week. All right, it's time, Dalton. San Francisco 49ers, BCB. It's Brock Purdy for the uninitiated. 5.4 air yards per attempt was the lowest among all quarterbacks last week. Pretty much to be expected, but Dalton, give us the state of the union on Brock Purdy.
Yeah, it's frustrating to see Garoppolo go down again. You know, he had a season-ending ACL tear in 2018, season-ending ankle injury in 20, now this broken foot, and obviously he's playing injured all last postseason too, with a broken thumb and a shoulder injury that required surgery. So the Niners have a roster that could win the Super Bowl, and they're down to their third string quarterback, who's Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft. 6'1", kind of looks like Jeff Garcia out there with some mobility. I try to talk myself into him, looked at the highlights. You know, the thing is, he's respected in the locker room, as you say there, BCB, and he's, I guess, you know, a real bookworm, and he was prepared, you know, to play. He's in the system. It's kind of funny that they didn't even bother to put in a waiver claim for Baker Mayfield, and the Rams got him.
No, but, of course they didn't. I can't, like, what is... stupid idea that was, that they would ever be interested in freaking Baker Mayfield. Give me a break.
This is a defense that is the team has outscored their opponent 77-7 after halftime the last five games. Their defense has allowed 7 points after halftime the last five games. Our guy John Legeza has a tweet with all, they lead basically every single category over the past 6 weeks. So, and it's a quarterback take. You know, don't forget Nick Mullins' second most pass yards in NFL history over his first 16 games, because Shanahan gets all these yards after the catch guys, mm-hmm. Who all are mostly healthy now. Christian McCaffrey is going to be, he's going to get all the touches he can handle. Purdy, as you said, obviously it was all underneath stuff, but he's not afraid to throw it under pressure, and he stayed there in the pocket, and we'll see. The Niners are now all in with a, you know, seventh string quarterback making his first start, and he's favored by 3.5 points over Tom Brady, who's been playing football longer than Purdy's been alive.
That's amazing. I mean, that is amazing stuff, right? Yeah, no, good points. I mean, on Brock Purdy overall, like,
you're not playing football, playing in the NFL, to be clear.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, Brock Purdy, I feel like you got to kind of feel good about the fact that Shanahan likes him enough to keep him on the roster, like to that with the old Nate Sudfeld, like they jettisoned him in the offseason. Like,
and they had a big call. They had like a couple million like dedicated to him, and they thought it was Sudfeld, but yeah, absolutely. They Purdy outplayed him. That is worth noting. Yeah.
Yeah,
4-year like starter, breakout. Hey, his breakout. You open his player profiler page and you squint. You know, you want to look for something. Breakout age 95th percentile, and I guess, ooh, he was balling as a freshman, and then COVID hit. And if someone's complained about the coaching, I'm not. You know, Andy, we'll talk to Andy tomorrow about Ohio State guy there, but Iowa State there. Sorry, but I don't follow it. But I'm very. It's unprecedented situation, really, with a guy with his draft status taking over this type of roster.
But it does sound like Jimmy Garoppolo could be back for divisional round NFC championship if this seven to eight week timeline is true from Adam Schefter yesterday. We'll see obviously what happens there. But yeah, I feel like Purdy is good enough to right the ship or keep the ship afloat, and good enough maybe to even win a playoff game with this particular roster. So you're still feeling okay enough about Debo, about Ayuk, about Kittle, like enough to start these guys in fantasy.
Yeah, I still rank him as startable, but it's a no doubt downgrade for Samuel and Ayuk and Kittle. But Ayuk, if you followed him, he loved it. He said that Purdy went over to him and said, "I missed you." And Ayuk's like, "I'm rolling with him. I don't want Baker," before, when he was still rumored. He's like, "I'm rolling with Purdy. I haven't had a quarterback come up to me and take responsibility like that." And we see how hard he works. So Ayuk's like all in on this kid. Seems like the whole locker room is.
Oh, let's go. Yeah, I mean, BCB. There we go.
Exactly.
It's exciting to see. I can't wait to see it. That's a... Hey, listen, that's like the 15th receiver that's like, I don't want any part of Baker Mayfield. Which pretty understandable. All right, New York Giants here. Next one, Saquon Barkley has a 25% rushing success rate since week 11. Super inefficient on the ground. Got back a little bit going last year week. And you know, it's funny, like I was reading stuff. Saquon Barkley was like talking to reporters where, you know, people were asking, is the shoulder injury is a problem? And he's like, no, I'm just like, I'm not playing well right now. So where are we at with the Giants, who are heading, you know, it's just been a tough part of their schedule. And I feel like they're kind of coming back down to earth a little bit.
It's such a tough schedule. It was at Dallas, then Washington, and now the Eagles with a totally revamped defensive front against the run, and then Washington again. So, and then the Eagles to end the year. So it's a tough schedule against the run as it gets, basically. But yeah, maybe it's part the shoulder, part just wear and tear, and part an offense that has Darius Slayton as its clear number one pass catcher. I mean, we like Slayton, but I mean, it's, you know, it's limited it's weapons that the defense has to focus on. So yeah, it's now looking more and more like a long shot that my Barkley to win the rushing title hits here, but I could use a couple big games down the stretch here, Harmon.
Yeah, he's fourth in the NFL in rushing right now. You know, it's not terrible. But
Josh, we'll get to Henry. Henry is battling something too. Yeah. He slowed down. Nick Chubb has slowed down. So yeah, I mean, Josh Jacobs is just unstoppable.
It's like an absurd lead on it right now. He's 1,303 yards rushing right now. Nobody else is over 1,200. So, yeah, pretty insane run there for Josh Jacobs. That's going to be tough for Barkley or anybody to pass him. All right, let's move on to the Jets here. Dalton, you had some good stats on not just Garrett Wilson earlier, but the Bills' defense and why it might not be as intimidating a matchup for a guy like Garrett Wilson this week.
First of all, Garrett Wilson's just so good. It's still the third most air yards in any game in the NFL last season. And five games without Zach Wilson, he's averaging 11 targets, 94 yards, and nearly a touchdown. I mean, just look at his yards per route run with Flacco and Mike White as his QBs, and they're just matched by only all pros. I have him ranked, I think, as my wide receiver sixth this week. They're going to have to throw against the Bills. Bills will put up points. They've allowed the 11th most fantasy points to wide receivers. I wrote in my column top three, and then in a video I said top five, but am I being a little bit too recency biased saying Wilson I have ranked as a top three dynasty wideout right now?
Nope. I don't think
so. Oh, nice. All right.
No, yeah. I mean, you know, right now, like when I do dynasty ranks, I still think that Chase and Jefferson are in like a tier to themselves as the two top two guys. But then, you know, you get to the next group of dudes. It's like AJ Brown, it's CeeDee Lamb, you know, and then there's like the kind of veteran dudes like Adams, Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill. I think that's the group of guys there, though, that, you know, I think Garrett Wilson, I think Chris Olave, I think even still Drake London belongs in that tier of dudes. The thing is, like, you know, CeeDee Lamb is tied to Dak. AJ Brown's tied to Jalen Hurts now. And it is kind of uncomfortable that Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, and again, I think Drake London belongs in this group as well. All of those guys have mysterious quarterback situations long term, right? Like Garrett Wilson, who knows what the hell they're going to do with the Jets at quarterback, right? You know, it's not going back to Zach Wilson as much as Robert Saleh keeps talking about it. Drake London, the Falcons have sort of played themselves out of a top pick. The Saints played themselves into a top pick, but they don't have that pick because in part they traded up for Chris Olave. So it is, and like with Dynasty, you don't always want to just say, oh yeah, you want to, Yeah. You don't want to just like attach quarterback play as the reason you're elevating these guys, but I think it can be a tiebreaker. But long story short, I do think like, yeah, top five is not outrageous to say.
And the one Chase who's tied to, you know, obviously elite QB, a young Burrow, is also tied to the best teammate too. You know, T. Higgins is the most target competition of all those too on his side too. So you could make an argument for all the, certainly Justin Jefferson probably would be the number one. But yeah, okay, I'm glad you didn't think I was crazy for putting Wilson in that group. But anyway, he's awesome.
Nah, dude,
and
he's
fire
so
him
good.
Up in fantasy lineups no matter what moving forward. I mean, he was stepped out of bounds at the 10 barely last week too. He nearly had a touchdown on one of those long plays. Mike White, he nearly had two interceptions on his first two drives, and I get it. There he has criticisms, but he also made some really awesome throws in that environment last week. He really did. And he stood in pressure in some downfield, and Garrett Wilson's going to benefit. That dude's an alpha.
100% agree. All right. Seattle Seahawks. Kenneth Walker, pretty similar to Saquon Barkley, has a 26% rushing success rate since week 10. You know, I've had a lot of conversations this week on Twitter about like offensive rookie of the year. You know, a couple of weeks ago it was like, oh, Kenneth Walker might be the guy. He's really fallen off, and now he's dealing with this injury. How are we feeling about the Seahawks running back situation, both Walker and the dudes who might be behind him to replace him?
Oh, just totally up in the air. You got to pay attention here. It looks like they're down to their fifth stringer, Tony Jones. I mean, Walker, it was weird how he left that game last week. And then Pete Carroll's arguably the toughest coach to rely on for injury information.
Yeah.
So a wait and see approach. Travis Homer and DJ Dallas also got injured. So it's a good matchup at home against the Panthers and should be a favorable game script. But yeah, it's hopefully Walker gets healthy and it's not a serious ankle, but they're calling it jammed ankle, not a sprained one. But yeah, just a situation to pay attention to that we're just kind of guessing right now.
There's one of my dynasty teams because of bye weeks. I am desperate for DJ Dallas to like make this start. That would be like a huge win for me. But nobody cares about that. What you do care about is some Derrick Henry discussion. We're going to get to that right after this quick break.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, Dalton, we're back. Tennessee Titans, they fired their general manager. Tough scene there. Tougher scene comes in from Pat Thorman, this stat right here. He said on December 4th, Derrick Henry is averaging 2.8 yards per carry. At 75th during the last month, it was 4.8 before that. And then doubling down on that, Pat Thorman adds, Derrick Henry did not force a tackle last week for the first time in over 4 years. No missed tackles forced in a game. What is going on with Derrick Henry?
And he was on the injury report. I forget for exactly what it was, but right before this stretch. Now, let's not forget he had a long catch that nearly, you know, he's lost the fumble right at the goal line too. But yeah, it hasn't been against the Murderers Row defensive group. The last two, the Bengals are pretty tough and the Eagles have reinforcements, but he didn't have a big game against the Packers either. So I don't know. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's wear and tear. Maybe he's playing through an injury that he will, you know, get healthier as the season goes on. Or maybe this is something that's going to drag down his stats for the rest of the year. Don't have an answer for it, but it's something that's clearly been a sample now enough that it warrants paying attention to.
Yeah, because there's a couple of viable explanations. Like, he might be playing through an injury. This might just be all of these touches that have, I guess, what we talked about in the beginning of the year. And it's funny how this stuff works, right? Like, if you talked about this in the offseason, like, oh, Derrick Henry, you know, is he wearing down too much workload? He was absolutely outrageous in the early part of the year. You look like an idiot for even suggesting, like, oh, do we need to be worried about a cliff with Derrick Henry? And then these last.
In fact, I did. I went on FFL and said that I did look like an idiot, in fact.
But I mean, like, in the offseason, but this is what I'm saying. Like, this is it was a reasonable thing to bring up, even if the results didn't. You weren't an idiot. The results made you look like an idiot. But now we might be seeing the fruits of that discussion there. So I don't know. The one thing I would say, though, the only actionable thing I'd put out here, because, you know, I had somebody ask me, like, is it time to panic on Derrick Henry? I'm like, I don't know what good panicking is going to, you're no good in panicking on it, because he just, like, it is what it is. Trade deadline's passed. Nobody cares. Like, you're just going to have to rock with it. The one thing I would say, though, is, like, I feel like Dontrell Hilliard's a guy you might want to stick on the end of your bench if you're making a playoff push right now.
And I will also say, I'll argue in favor of Henry going for him here. This week, he's at home against a really bad Jacksonville defense that may be playing without Trevor Lawrence. So it could be a real nice game script without Treylon Burks. And then in the fantasy playoffs, he gets the Chargers and Texans.
Yep. So the schedule is as good as it could possibly get.
Yeah. I'm going to mess up the guy's name, but the tight end, the rookie tight end on the Titans, absolutely add him on your fantasy roster if he's out there. Can you say his name? Chig Okonkwo?
Nope. Gotta get that one better.
Add him, though. He's going to get significant work without Burks, though, and tight end landscape is a joke. I have him as a top 10 tight end this week.
Oh, love it. Love the call there. All right. Washington football team. Brian Robinson has gained 5+ yards on 50% of his carries since week 11. You know, Brian Robinson got kind of like a reputation in the draft process, even early when he was playing as like sort of a plotter, but he's been awesome. Of late, you know, I talked about this last week, how Washington has become the most run heavy team in the NFL in neutral situations. A lot of it is because Brian Robinson has been just a guy that's steadily getting 5+ yards, 4 or 5, you know, just adding value with his rushes. I think it's gone under the radar a little bit that he's sort of emerged as like a reliable every week starter at this point.
Yeah, Gibson's playing through an injury that doesn't appear to be going away until after this season. Nope. But yep, Robinson looks good. It makes sense. It'd only get better as the season further removed from the gunshots. So yeah, he looks great. And he's going to be reliable to use in fantasy down the stretch when the team emerges from its bye.
Yeah, like, it is worth noting. I think if you thought he was like a plotter coming into the NFL, you know, and then like I don't think he looked great in his first few games. So he got shot, you know, like the guy got shot. Okay, so like, if he's getting better now, the longer he's playing, that makes complete sense. Just really like, I think he's brought exactly what they wanted when they picked him, which was like, they wanted like a grinder back, you know, to add that dimension to their offense. And it's really come together. You know, I'm just a big fan of Scott Turner and that Washington football team offense. So love to see that. Don't love to see this. LA Chargers next team up here. Justin Herbert ranks just 19th in EPA per dropback since week 11, which is, of course, the week that Keenan Allen got back. I was really hopeful that Keenan Allen returning would be enough to sort of right the ship for the Chargers passing game. Looked like it in one game. Hasn't been so the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it was not good other than the one long catch. To 13 targets, he gained like 40 yards or something other than that one toward the end with Allen. Maybe he's not playing at 100%. I don't know. The coaching, you could argue, they're missing their center and a couple other. Well, they're missing three starters, I think, on their offensive line. So it's tough. Herbert's obviously is awesome, and hopefully he gets improved coaching and healthier teammates moving forward. I mean, what more really can you say there? I mean, do you think Allen's playing through a hamstring injury that's just clearly not 100%, right? Yeah. I mean, that's just what's the issue here, right?
Yeah, I don't think he looks 100% when he's out there. I mean, he's occasionally, like, he looks really good, but I mean, that's the deal with like a hamstring injury is you can look all right for a little bit and then you can pop, like you can aggravate it, stuff like that. So, but it's just like, I think he has to be out there playing because you can't go back to like the DeAndre Carter, Josh Palmer only goofball passing game. So, yeah, it's like, I get, hopefully Mike Williams can come back for this Sunday Night Football matchup, but my God, I mean, it just does not feel good with Herbert in this offense right now. It's like, it's Herbert, it's Eckler, and then a skeleton crew. It's pretty rough.
Maybe I'm way off, but aggravating a high ankle sprain, looking at Williams, it looked like to me he's not going to be back anytime soon. But maybe, hopefully I'm wrong. But boy, I wouldn't be optimistic on him.
You always see oh, he might practice in limited fashion here on like Wednesday. And then by Friday, it's like, nah, he ain't playing. So I wouldn't feel great about it either. All right, New England Patriots. Ramondre Stevenson has a 25% target share since week 7. I mean, he's basically getting like old Alvin Kamara usage right now as a receiver is Ramondre Stevenson. You know, the mirage, Minnesota Vikings defense induced mirage of Mac Jones on Thanksgiving was nothing, as we saw against Buffalo Bills. Like, the one good thing about the Patriots right now is Ramondre Stevenson, and that's about it.
Yeah, he had a crazy 98% snap share last week. Kevin Harris played one snap, and Ramondre Stevenson played 53. And you mentioned the targets are just out of control. So, yeah, I have him ranked as, I think, my fifth or sixth running back this week in that matchup, but he could easily be number one. I mean, yeah, I have him fourth, sorry. And I think he's in a tier with Eckler, Jacobs, and McCaffrey, and Chubb, and Henry right there. I think Stevenson belongs in that group.
He's one of those guys too, like, don't watch Patriots games, because, you know, by like halftime, even like early third quarter, people are, you know, like, what's up with Stevenson? Like, he's pretty disappointing this week or whatever. And then by the end of the game, he gets like 5 dump off passes at the end of like a 2-minute drive to end the game on Thursday night last week. And it's like, okay, we're good to go. Like, that was.
And this one, actually, they might score points back and forth, actually, indoors against Arizona. The rare game, I think, that they actually might open up with the Patriots involved.
All right, another Pat Thorman tweet here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers segment. Tom Brady from play action this year, 79.7 adjusted completion percentage, 8 yards per attempt, second best Pro Football Focus passing grade, and a 103.6 passer rating. Of course, those stats all fall off when he has no play action. And of course, Brady has the 35th highest play action passing rate, 16.3% this year. Thorman's point on this is Brady isn't washed. He's being wasted. I think the Buccaneers' biggest issue right now, you know, it's been kind of a all year long, like, what's wrong with the Bucs? What's going on with the Bucs? It's clear, like, they're a poorly coached team. You know, both, I think, Todd Bowles, to a lesser extent, Byron Leftwich, but there's still some problems there from a play calling perspective. But they're so conservative, and it's really crushing this Bucs team right now.
Yeah, when they went and hurry up against Seattle, it worked. Falling behind, you know, when they had to, force to, thankfully for them, when Mark Ingram went out of bounds on that sure first down, and that helped too. So yeah, it just seems like a coaching issue here. And Brady, obviously, he's in decline at his age, whatever. But I think the stats are a little bit worse than he's actually been playing. And it was a tough test against 49ers this week coming back home. So that should be a good one. And Evans has been weird, man. Even with Lattimore inactive Monday night, still couldn't get it done. It looks like Godwin is maybe even healthier at this stage. And the Niners' one vulnerability this year has been the slot. So I think Godwin could have a nice week. But even in that, the A-dot with him is like 6 yards or something. So. Yeah. So short. So it's really weird. But I think the point here is that Brady could use more play action passes and fewer runs up the gut to Lenny Fournette for 2.5 yards.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Both like hot names during the coaching cycle last year, Todd Bowles and Byron Leftwich, pretty disappointing performances from both of those guys, especially game management stuff from Bowles, which is like, yeah, that's what Todd Bowles was with the Jets. Like, it's not really not that surprising at all. Cleveland Browns. Deshaun Watson ranked dead last in EPA per dropback in week 13. And it looked that way. Like the more you go back and watch that game, like I watched a ton of it on Sunday, just, you know, seeing what he looked like. He looked really, really bad. He looked really bad in preseason. The camp reports were kind of hit or miss. Like, I don't know, man. It just, the next couple weeks for the Browns, you know, they get the Bengals, they get the Ravens, they get the Saints. You know, not like the best defenses in the NFL, but some, like, Lou Anarumo pitches some heaters there as the Bengals defensive coordinator. I'm not feeling great about the Browns offense overall right now with Watson back. Like, it might take him some time to get back up to speed, understandably, considering all the time he has missed.
Yeah, I put Watson as one of my busts this week. Good call at the EPA per dropback. I used some accuracy ones. But yeah, he was awful.
What was the accuracy stats?
He's just, his completion percentage over expectation was like the 7th percentile, third worst off target percentage. He was just, it's really bad. And he had another play where they ruled it an incomplete pass, but he nearly had a fumble that was returned for a touchdown, just all on his own volition. In the preseason, he was like 2 for 5. It hasn't played much since 2020. So obviously, some rust was to be expected, but I wouldn't roll him out here. I think his ECR and Fantasy Pros is treating him like a starter this week, but I have him 17th or 18th. We got Amari Cooper. It's a road game too, right? So we have that issue too. So Watson just looked really rusty, really inaccurate, and now he's facing a defense playing better in Cincinnati on the road. So man, I'm taking a wait and see approach before I'm putting him in my fantasy lineup. There's easily 12 quarterbacks I prefer this week.
Yeah, I would encourage people to listen to Frank Schwab, who you have on the show a lot, and Charles Robinson's conversation from UPod to win the game on their Sunday night recap. Because, like, I think Frank brought up some great points about, like, with all that's happened with Deshaun Watson and, like, now how he's basically become the biggest villain in the NFL. I mean, some Browns fans still love him, whatever. But, like, nobody's out there, like, rooting for Deshaun Watson. You know, doesn't that at some point, like, get into your head a little bit? I mean, it's totally, like, intangible stuff, but we know this stuff matters. We've talked about this a lot in the last couple episodes on the show. You would think at one point, like, that might get into your head, like, that, you know, that you just, like, that lack of confidence, like, that you used to have, something like that. But and Charles brought up the point, like, look at how quickly things have turned, like, teammates, fans, media has turned on Russell Wilson. And, like, Russ might be a weirdo, but he's a by all accounts a pretty good guy. I don't know if Watson continues to struggle over the next, like, 3 or 4 weeks, considering that I wouldn't say this, you know, Deshaun Watson, not a good guy, right? Like, does not have the goodwill that Russ has built up. I wonder, like, what the sentiment in the locker room within the Browns organization is like for Deshaun Watson if he doesn't come in and just light it up over the next few weeks.
Although I keep hearing rumblings like Russell Wilson won't even, like, talk to employees unless they're important in the organization. And there's a lot of people with him. But yeah, I hear you. But fair. Who knows if that's true? And neither here nor there. Who knows? Whatever. But Watson has there's a lot to talk about with Watson. And it's plenty of people be rooting for his failure. And one final note to that end, the Bengals defense hasn't allowed a quarterback to throw for 300 yards in a game all season, and just one multiple touchdown game all year. So he has a tough matchup this week too. So yeah, I'm staying away in fantasy and.
I'll tell you a guy we do want to talk about, Jared Goff, with the Detroit Lions for our next team up here. Jared Goff ranks 9th in adjusted yards per attempt since week 8. Week 8 is notable because that was when Amon-Ra St. Brown really got back in there. You know, he had the high ankle sprain, then he had that concussion where he got wiped out in the Cowboys game right away. Your guy, Jared Goff, Dalton, I'm officially labeling you a Jared Goff guy. Look, I think he's played well. It's been great to see, but this is a big sentiment to Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think he was great as a rookie. He has taken yet another step this year to the point that, like, I think he is, I don't know, man, I'm getting real, real high on Amon-Ra St. Brown. Not that that's like a hot take or anything like that, but just a true difference maker. And I think a big explanation for why Goff's stats look as good as they are.
St. Brown is an absolute star. He was tackled at the 1 yard line for the third straight game last week and still recorded 2 touchdowns. He's so, so awesome. But you set it up for me. I got to talk more Goff. I used him for my conviction pick this week. The Fantasy Pros are catching up. His ECR is the QB 11 this week. It's just simple, man. At home, the Lions are averaging the second most points per game in the NFL. Goff has 17 touchdowns at home and two on the road. Only Patrick Mahomes is averaging more TD passes per game than Jared Goff in Detroit. And a real nice matchup this week. I mean, the Vikings are allowing the most yards per attempt, the most passing yards, the second most yards per play on the road. So fire up Goff. I have him ranked as a top, I think my seventh QB this week. So yeah, but yes, Sun God deserves plenty of the credit here. But man, hope Jameson Williams, the snaps there, you're not worried about, say, using St. Brown in DFS or something, are you, with Jameson Williams? He didn't really play him. It's just St. Brown's gotten all his touchdowns, by the way, at home too. So he's just and one concern here. If you're using DFS, do you know that the Lions ranked like third in DVOA against the pass the last 5 weeks? Are they just going to boat race? I guess they still got theirs last week, but it's pretty wild that the Lions are 2.5 point. That spread has crept up to 2.5 point favorite over the 10 into Vikings.
It's wild, Dalton, because the Lions have a path to make the playoffs right now. Like, they're clicking at the right time. It's pretty wild that the Seahawks, the Lions, and the Eagles all right now are slated to have a top five pick, and all three of them could be in the playoffs this year because of those trades. And I mean, just what a crazy result for all of that, all involved. But, you know, Goff is funny, man, because I think people are too hard on Jared Goff. And I know, I mean, you're the Jared Goff guy here, but let me just say this as well. Like, in a way, I think because the Rams like so forcefully dumped Jared Goff in such like a public and humiliating fashion that, you know, and they won a Super Bowl, right? Like, so, okay, they got what they wanted out of it. But like, I think it made people double count like some of Jared Goff's flaws. Like, he's just an average starting quarterback. So with a superstar wide receiver like Amon-Ra St. Brown and I think an underrated supporting cast on offense in general, like, yeah, you can get it done, man. Like, I don't know.
Awesome offensive line, and you get him indoors. Just don't ask him to play outdoors, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah, just keep that California guy inside. All right, we're officially moving into the dusty section here of these teams, so we can go a little bit faster with these, starting, oh my God, with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I say this all the time, wide receiver stats are fake in the Pittsburgh Steelers offense, and this is an exact reason why. Both Deontay Johnson and George Pickens rank outside the top 40 receivers in targets per route run, but they rank top 10 in unrealized air yards. I mean, enough already with the Steelers offense, man.
Yeah, like I said, I don't have much to add other than I've been still rolling with Pickens most week, ranking him ahead of Deontay Johnson. The targets have been there. It's just going to be a rough go as Pickett learns to play at the NFL level.
And he's still playing in Matt Canada's offense, man. That's the thing. That too. That's the thing. It's just any sort of like, people ask me about Pickens, people ask me about Johnson, I'm like, it's an unserious offense, okay? Like, it's not a real NFL offense. And until they make a change there, I'm not getting excited about anything involved, especially with a rookie quarterback. All right. Atlanta Falcons. Ian Harditz gives us this one. The Falcons, 33%, have the league's single lowest rate of catchable deep ball targets, 20-plus yards downfield, according to Pro Football Focus. I think there's a pretty good chance the Falcons make a quarterback change in their bye week because Arthur Smith didn't sound like the idea of starting Desmond Ridder was going to give him diarrhea. He actually sounded a little bit open to it.
Yeah, in fairness to Mariota, he did deal with pressure last week with TJ Watt and company. But yeah, absolutely. The way Arthur Smith worded it, you know, compared to how he would frame the quarterback situation before, leads me to believe that Ridder is definitely a possibility coming out of the bye. So I agree. And yeah, the deep passes have been ugly. You're big on London, and I can see why. I mean, totally. So I'd love to see him just with a different quarterback and see what happens, obviously, with no Pitts there as well.
Me too. I love the 12 targets last week for Drake London. Like, he's actually pretty like higher in targets per route run than people would think. It's just a very weird offense there. Green Bay Packers, had to bring this one to the table for my own personal reasons, but NFL Research tweeted this out in the middle of the Packers game on Sunday. Christian Watson now has 7 receiving touchdowns on just 23 career receptions. Watson joins Martavis Bryant, 2014 with the Pittsburgh Steelers, as the only rookie wide receivers over the last 25 seasons to have 7-plus career receiving touchdowns within their first 25 career receptions. I have been comparing Christian Watson to Martavis Bryant since prior to the draft this year, so that felt pretty funny to see those two compared to each other. Christian Watson, you know, again, talking about offensive rookie of the year, people come back and say, what about Watson? What does he have to do to win this thing? Like, he still has 400 receiving yards on the year. I don't think he's... And he only has 4 more games left. Like, the fact the Packers have a late bye is going to kind of work against him, like putting up the stats that he would need to. But I think he's moved to like second or third in terms of betting odds to be offensive rookie of the year, which I still think is pretty crazy.
He looks awesome. Obviously, the touchdown rate's unsustainable, but his speed just looks different. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers returns and a similar roster returns, I'm thinking he'll cost like a late third round fantasy pick next year.
Damn.
I mean, I feel like people will swing for the fences with the situation he's in and the talent he's shown, even with the touchdown, sure to regress. Yes. But no, he's awesome. And I'm curious how much Trey Lance and him, you know, how much of his production came from Watson, who's quite clearly a special player.
I want to see a little more growth as a full receiver, like full field guy, before buying into that next year. But you know, he's got four more games to show a lot, so that should be pretty fun to watch there. Indianapolis Colts. Matt Ryan has a 98.5 pass rating when kept clean, 45.3 when under pressure. So, you know, obviously we're coming off a hideous game for the Colts and the offense in general. Nobody did much of anything. But I feel like we can still feel decent about the Colts pass catchers when the Colts are going against a pass rush that doesn't look anything like the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, every quarterback obviously struggles comparatively, but maybe someone with his age and his lack of mobility, it makes sense. But yeah, it's nice to know. And that offensive line, you know, maybe it does emerge from the bye playing better, because they do have the personnel to play better than they have this season. That's for sure.
Not going to get my hopes up on that one. Next one up here, Arizona Cardinals coming out of their bye week. I probably mentioned this on last week's show, but I'm going to mention it again. Marquise Brown had a 59.7 slot rate in week 12. Love the usage that Brown got in that first game back off IR, the first game there that we've seen him and DeAndre Hopkins playing together. But how much of that is the fact that Rondale Moore missed the game? How much of that is Greg Dortch missed the game? And will we just see Cliff Kingsbury go back to pretty static, like, wide receiver usage? Because we fell for this trap, or maybe didn't fall for this trap, but we've had this discussion before about Hopkins as a slot receiver. But I did think it was at least worth discussing, since the fact that this was the first time we saw these two top receivers together in Arizona.
Yeah, it's clear Trey McBride is not ready to contribute, and no matter who plays the slot, they've just put up real big numbers with Murray throughout the season, and so that's huge. Yeah, it's a guessing game, but I will be curious myself, with Greg Dortch's possible return, who mans the slot in Arizona?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely interested in that, and just overall, yeah, pretty... I really think Marquise Brown has had an underrated season this year when he's been healthy. Carolina Panthers. Sam Darnold had a 10 yards per attempt on screen passes. They made some plays there in the screen package with old Sam Darnold, but no, I didn't want to. I just had that note because I think it's funny about Sam Darnold and the screen passes. But no Donta Foreman practicing on Wednesday. The Panthers ran the crap out of the ball against the Broncos in that game before the bye. How are we feeling about Chuba Hubbard if Donta Foreman misses this game?
Oh, I love him. Seattle's been vulnerable against the run lately. And yeah, 17 carries last time we saw him, with Foreman getting 24. Game script's not going to afford Carolina to be able to run the ball like that. But I would absolutely move Hubbard up as my top 25 back if Foreman is out in this matchup.
Yeah, they're playing a star quarterback this week in Geno Smith, where they were playing a bad quarterback last week in Russell Wilson. You know, no connective tissue there at all. Jacksonville Jaguars, next team up. Travis Etienne has a 15% targets per route run rate. Interesting here, because I feel like ETN has been pretty good this season, obviously, but he's never been involved as a pass catcher. Don't you think that's kind of odd that, like, that was supposed to be the big appeal, or at least according to fantasy heads, it was supposed to be the big appeal of him as a player?
It is odd. I have heard college watchers claim that it was just more function of just force feeding him the ball, and he's not a natural pass catcher, even in college when he was putting up big numbers. But it's still bizarre. Lawrence is ranks among the bottom of the league in target percentage to his running backs this year. Etienne actually also saw a career high snap rate last week in his return, for the most snaps of his career last week, returning from that foot injury. But this week, it's a tough one. The Titans rank first in defense, in run defense DVOA. They have not allowed a running back to reach 70 rushing yards in a game since week one. And the fact that, you're right, Etienne doesn't get the targets. You know what may happen here, though? Lawrence is dealing with a sprained toe, and he's iffy. So maybe Beathard comes in and dumps it off a lot. But you're right. As fantasy managers, we'd like to see far more targets going Etienne's way moving forward.
Lawrence said that he would play today on Wednesday, but we'll see, obviously, throughout the course of the week. But yeah, it's just, it's funny too, because this is his college quarterback. This is the guy he got all that production with, at Clemson. But it just hasn't really been there. But there are, there are a lot of film bros who would tell you, like, oh no, that he's not that natural of a pass catcher, all that stuff. So. We'll see. Guy who we used to think was an awesome pass catcher, Alvin Kamara. Next team up here, New Orleans Saints. Kamara is averaging 14 touches per game since that Raiders eruption spot where he scored all those touchdowns. It's kind of, I don't know. I feel like Kamara, it's funny because all the discussion was about the suspension in the offseason. And then as soon as it was like, oh, this might get kicked off till next year, it's like, all right, draft Alvin Kamara as usual. And he's at 14 touches per game over his last few games. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, three touchdowns on the season, and they all occurred in that Raider game. Just three targets last week with Dalton at QB. That's, you don't usually see that. Lost two fumbles the week before that. So, yeah, it hasn't been great for Kamara whatsoever. Yeah, it's been awful because he cost, you know, a mid-second-round fantasy pick. So he's, to say he hasn't been worth it would be an understatement.
And Mark Ingram now is going to miss the rest of the year. Does that lead you to have any optimism about Kamara going forward, or is it over?
I do believe he has helped him in games. The Ingram's been out this year, so I could absolutely see that being beneficial. So, yeah, there's hope there. I mean, yeah, you're probably using Kamara if you have him, and the Ingram issue could be a slight boost.
Yeah, they're on a bye this week, but they do get the Falcons the game after that, and then the Browns. So the schedule is interesting for Kamara. Oh, man, yeah, that one's going to be a tough one to try to project those few matchups, so we'll see. Next one up here, Denver Broncos. The Broncos lead the NFL in passes of 20-plus yards this year, which is surprising because their passing offense stinks. I think if you had told most people, like, oh, Russell Wilson's going to lead the NFL in passes of 20-plus yards, people thought the results would be great. The results have been terrible. I don't know much to say about the Broncos because they're basically down to like their preseason roster plus Russell Wilson, but I don't know. Thought that was interesting.
That is interesting. Definitely surprising. I would not have guessed that. One note I will say here is Jerry Jeudy was targeted heavily per route a run during his, I think it was his return last week, right? Or no, he's been back a couple weeks, but either way, he
hard Courtland to remember Sutton, doesn't do anything. So
hey, Sutton looks doubtful for this week, and there's some interesting numbers with Jeudy succeeding against man, and I believe Kansas City plays a ton of man, so I think Jeudy is like a sleeper this week without Sutton. But yeah, it's been the ugly offense.
Yeah. Have fun with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love the dismissal. That's bad, man. We're talking, yeah, Jeudy was right there with Ayuk and CeeDee Lamb. And I thought Jeudy was maybe the best coming in out of college. But yeah, it's been a disappointment for him too, along with the rest of that Denver offense.
It is crazy. Like if you do look at like the yards per route run difference between him versus man and zone coverage, it's like Jeudy is absurdly efficient at yards per route run against man coverage. But by the way, a lot of that is quarterback because Russell Wilson has always been a terrible passer against zone coverage because of a lot of issues that have gone back the last few years, not just to his Denver Broncos days. But yeah, Jeudy's yards per route run against man coverage is pretty hilariously high if you look at any of those graphs. All right, the Rams are next. We're saving them, or we're trying to avoid them for Thursday Night Football in just a little bit here. The Chicago Bears, you brought this one to the table. Justin Fields has just three design runs last week.
Yeah, I took that one from Adam Levitan. He had been averaging around a dozen before the injury. So, yes, he had the real nice long touchdown run, but realized they really scaled back his designed runs there. So just something to note. You know, I mean, obviously we're getting his fantasy value from those legs, but it's been awesome to see him evolve. And he's still producing for fantasy terms, even with that bum shoulder. So it was nice to see.
Yeah, I still feel like he's an every week fantasy start, even if they're just the three design rush attempts. I mean, you get a bye this week, so hopefully you can get him healthier during the bye and he comes back.
He still runs when they're not designed is the thing,
yeah,
too.
Exactly. That's a big one. And honestly, I'd rather him, just from a preference standpoint, I'd rather see him as more of a scrambler than a design rush attempt. I mean, he's crazy as a design rusher, but like he can get out of bounds easier. You know, he's not as necessarily going to get hit by like the defensive linemen, stuff like that on design runs. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Guy takes enough sacks anyways. We don't need him getting crushed by bigger dudes in the middle of the field there. Last one up here, Houston Texans. The Texans are the biggest underdog of the season. That is the that's the stat we have here. Davis Mills, your guy, Davis Mills is coming back. You know, great. Whoop-de-doo. It is better than Kyle Allen. Anything is better than Kyle Allen. Nico Collins was limited at practice today. That's really the only passing game guy we should care about for the Texans.
Yeah, I was going to say Cooks and Collins questionable. Back to Davis Mills. This should be, you know, obviously projected to be an ugly game script for Damian Pierce. But yeah, it hasn't gone great for Houston this season. But back to Davis Mills, which I guess makes sense with Kyle Allen's performance. Might as well let the second-year QB play this string out.
I don't even know what the point of putting Kyle Allen out there was. It's like, he stinks. He's not a good quarterback. And like, Davis Mills is not the future of your franchise, but he might be like your future backup, you know, so you might as well just let him keep going out there. And again, he's Dalton's guy, so we'd love to see more of that. All right, last game, last one here is our Thursday night preview. For the Raiders, the stat is Josh Jacobs is averaging 31.3 opportunities per game. The last four games, he leads the NFL in rushing. They've taken on the Rams. I don't have a stat for Baker Mayfield, but they added Baker Mayfield, and oh my God, who cares? I can't. If Baker has to start this game, that would just be outrageous.
I have a couple crazy Devontae Adams stats. His last nine touchdowns have all been 25 plus yard plays. And here are career TD catches of 25 plus yards from quarterbacks for Devontae Adams. Aaron Rodgers, 10. Derek Carr, 9. I mean, it's crazy. So they're off. No offense has faced more cover 2/cover 6 on early downs. And basically, they rank fourth in rush success rate and fourth in EPA per rush during those. He's really helped Josh Jacobs' success too. It's just crazy. Again, don't forget looking at his box score that he missed that one game with illness. He's just balling. The targets are out of control. He ate last week against an overwhelmed Chargers defense, and it's just been impressive. Thursday night, this could be totally different game script, you know, against the Rams. But man, Devontae Adams, you called him the best receiver in football, and leaving Aaron Rodgers and doing what he's doing, it's really hard to argue against that at this point. It's pretty sick.
He's on pace for some of his best career numbers.
And as you said, he was really bad the first 2 years, right? I heard you talking about that when you're in your reception perception, and then he was almost out of the league. The first 2 years of his career was brutal, and now here we are.
It's an unbelievable story. It's one of the biggest turnarounds I think we'll ever see in NFL history, that he was like a guy that, the fans were ready to run out of town. He deserved it too. He was not a good player his first couple of years, but he's bounced back to being the best receiver. And now I think it's a discussion to have with Stephon Diggs type, a Justin Jefferson type, you know, but Tyreek Hill, obviously it's tough to rank your top five receivers, but what Adams is doing, and he's doing it in a different way. Like you mentioned, that the fact that he lines up now almost exclusively as more of an X receiver, they don't get him like those slot targets like they used to in Green Bay, those little like layup stuff. A lot of it has been in the downfield vertical game, and he's been just as good doing that. Like there is no weakness to Devontae Adams' game. And it's just beautiful to see a guy can be great, and it doesn't have to do with the fact that he's playing with a great quarterback. Like, he's just a legitimately great receiver, and he's still been a great receiver. So, can't say enough good things about that guy. And even just the fact that they have two dudes there, the Raiders, they have Adams, they have Jacobs. Like, that's tough for a defense, because it's like we want to dedicate extra resources to stopping Devontae Adams, but we also want to dedicate extra resources to stopping the run, and you can't do both.
You cannot. No, it's ideal for fantasy. It's a dream, the condensed targets and usage there in Vegas. And hopefully Jacobs can continue to play through this calf injury. It's been impressive. He's, imagine turning down his fifth-year option and then performing like this. Conversely, the Raiders have allowed the highest adjusted net yards passing this year, as they typically do. So I don't know. Is Mayfield going to start this? My only observation is Tutu Atwell kind of popped off the screen and was a little bit better than I thought. And I would not be surprised when he gets more playing time Thursday night and might even lead this team in yards from scrimmage.
John Wolford returned to a limited practice this week. You know, he has a neck injury. I think they'd like to probably start Wolford the rest of the way, and just like maybe get a comp pick out of Baker Mayfield. But we do not need to see Baker Mayfield on the 2022 Rams. By the way, that is funny when people do like the Jared Goff versus Matthew Stafford comparisons. Like, I know some analytics bros want to like dunk on that whole thing. Imagine what Jared Goff would look like on this team, okay? Like the 2022 Rams. Imagine what Baker Mayfield's going to look like. I don't want to see it, okay? The only thing, I'm just glad there's no like number one wide receiver for Baker Mayfield to ruin on this team, because all their receivers are on IR and Aaron Donald's ruled out for this game. So, the Raiders, they're going to get their season back on track here, most likely with another win.
Yeah, the Rams played admirably last week, though, kept it competitive, but this is a beat-up roster. They keep switching running backs every week, but you got to start Akers, given what he did last week and in this matchup. But, then Williams will end up getting all the carries. But, and I ranked Akers as a starter, but who knows? It could go sideways for sure, because they've really had, a different leading rusher, I think, every other week. Yep. I don't think the same leading rusher is repeated, is what I'm trying to say. But maybe Thursday night becomes the first.
The schedule for the Rams, Andy and I think we talked about this on the waiver show, it's great. I mean, they get the Raiders this week, they get the Packers next week, they get the Rams, and then the Chargers. So if we do get some clarity with Akers, he's going to have a nice finish to the season here because of that schedule. But yeah, good man. If you start him and then, yeah, you get the rug pulled out from under you, you can't be too surprised, unfortunately.
It's just Brandon Powell gadget plays. And I'm telling you, Atwell, I kind of like him at $11 in our DFS game. But yeah, the Raiders, bad offense, man, looking interesting with Adams, Jacobs, and Carr just getting it done. And then Waller may come back in week 15 even too.
Yep. Let's see. That would be great. All right. That's enough Thursday Night Football. Oof. That is going to do it for us. You can follow Dalton on Twitter at Dalton Del Don if you don't already. You can follow me on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB. And while you're there, make yourself a better fantasy player and improve your timeline by following at Yahoo Fantasy. You will not regret it. If you like the show, please, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and review on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That would sincerely help us a lot. Dalton, you're going to be back tomorrow with Andy Behrens to preview the Week 14 games, buddy.
Yep, looking forward to it, man, for sure.
Yeah, we love when Dalton gets a double dip. That's a lot of Harmon in your life, Dalton, so I appreciate
it. I'm getting pulled away from Mexico for a wedding next week, too, so you might miss me, so I'm happy to do a double dip this week.
I know, we're going to have to find another stat nerd to fill in for you next week, unfortunately. So we'll get to that, though, of course. Until then, until our Week 14 preview tomorrow, we're out.